Blog Talk Radio.
Lose my life. Man, you don't know my wife.
What is she going to do now?
She go to bed.
every night. Yes, you do. Yeah. With a fistful of shine. Look at it. Jumping in and out of the bed. Calling, come on, Mask Man. I'm ready to fight. That's what you say. That's what you're trying to do. And then out she run to the kitchen and get to water hot. She missed me with the water, but she caught me with the pot. She picked her a can of biscuits, and I gave the dog a bite. He's been barking at the moon, and I just stupid all night.
But what else you call the law?
Man, he's married to my mother-in-law.
No.
Look at him. Look at him. Look what she does. She's trying to get rid of him. Look at that. I put my hot sauce in my blueberry pie. And I ain't going for that. And look at that. She thinks she's going to win somebody. Look at that. Putting glue in the gravy. Trying to get me to shut my mouth. I ain't going to stop talking. I'm going to tell everybody about this thing. Yes, I am.
What has she done to you now?
She's cooking me a meal. Ah! Yes, she is. And she's calling the monkey soup. That's what she's doing. She said, come here, Mask Man. I'm mixing up these herbs just for you. That's what she said. Then when you turn her back, I gave it to the cat. He slid out the door and ain't never came back. He stand up in the alley with a brick in his hand. He grabbed the bulldog in the collar and like the waist in my man. You don't have to go. What's he trying to do?
Hello, the little boy, don't be shy. Step right up, I'm a reasonable guy. Don't be frightened by the look in my eye. I'm just your average evil meteor from out of the sky.
Hey, what you trying to do? Suck my brains out?
Well, I'm just shy and scared in this place. I'm just a fish out of water from outer space. You can see that the trip has left me tired and drained. So why don't you be a pal and bring me some brains?
Okay. Don't worry, new buddy. I'll get you all sorts of brains.
Brains. Go down to your neighbor's place. See the dull expression on his face. You'd be doing him a favor if you brought him to me. He ain't using his brain, he's just watching TV. Down to Mr. McGee's. He hasn't had a thought since 43. His brain is the portrait of atrophy. He ain't using it, why not give it to me? Brains, brains, that's all right. At least the brains do the sound of fight. Sure, they might think it's deranged, but they won't give it a thought. I feel I've eaten their brain. Brains, brains, it's okay. Not a matter of it isn't gray. And if at first they think it's strange, they won't think twice if they don't have a brain. A fortune cookie says that I just can't stop. I sucked the noodle right out of the heads, and half an hour later I'm hungry again. Creep into the donut stop, sneak in tiptoe past the cop. Pick me up a cruller and a couple of tea, and any other sweetbreads you happen to see. Brains, brains, I won't lie. I'll eat the brains till the zombified. Sure, they might think it's deranged, but they won't give it a thought after I've eaten their brain. Brains, brains, it's okay. It's not a matter of it isn't gray. And if at first they think it's strange, they won't think twice if they don't have a brain. I love them, I need them. My tummy jumps for joy when I eat them. Pickles, that one's tall ones. They're so delectable, especially the small ones. No time to cook it in the chili. My belly's rumbling, I gotta need to fill it. I don't fry them, they eat alone, they drink them. I just grab myself a straw and I drink them. Bring me every single brain in town, but with all these brains I can't help but think that there isn't one left out there to drink. Now fess up, boy, come on, heck, is there someone that you're trying to protect? Bring it down here to meet her, and then I'll promise I'll be your bestest friend. Brains, brains, I'm alive. I'll eat her brain till she's number five. Sure she might think it's the rain, but she won't give it a thought after I've eaten her brain. Brains, brains, it's okay. It's not a matter of it isn't gray. And if at first she thinks it's strange, she won't think twice if she don't have a brain. Brains, bring me her brains. Bring me her brains.
Watched.
But you
be afraid of. We're not going to hurt you.
But once you understand, you'll be grateful. Remember how Teddy and I fought against it? Well, we were wrong.
You mean Teddy doesn't mind?
Of course not. She feels exactly the way I do.
Let us go!
Look, we'll leave town. We won't come back. We can't let you go. You're dangerous to us.
Don't fight it, Miles. It's no use. Sooner or later, you'll have to go to sleep.
I'll wait for you in the hall.
Miles, you and I are scientific men. You can understand the wonder of what's happened. Now just think. Less than a month ago, Santa Mara was like any other town. People with nothing but problems. Then out of the sky came a solution. Seeds drifting through space for years took root in a farmer's field. From the seeds came pods, which have the power to reproduce themselves in the exact likeness of any form of life.
So that's how it began. Out of the sky.
Your new bodies are growing in there. They're taking you over, cell for cell, atom for atom. There's no pain. Suddenly, while you're asleep, they'll absorb your minds, your memories, and you're reborn into an untroubled world.
Where everyone's the same?
Exactly.
What a world. We're not the last humans left. They'll destroy you.
Tomorrow you won't want them to. Tomorrow you'll be one of us.
I love Becky. Tomorrow will I feel the same?
There's no need for love.
No emotion. Then you have no feelings. Only the instinct to survive. You can't love or be loved, am I right?
You say it as if it were terrible. Believe me, it isn't. You've been in love before. It didn't last. It never does. Love, desire, ambition, faith. Without them, life's so simple. Believe me.
I don't want any part of it.
You're forgetting something, Miles.
What's that?
You have no choice.
lucky stars above, but not for me. With love to lead the way, I've found more clouds of gray than any Russian play could guarantee. I was a fool to fall and get that way. I hope, alas, and also lack a day. Although I can't dismiss the memory of his kiss, I guess he's not for me.
Come and gone, I wonder. a true love or a higher price? What are you searching for, Lady of the Night? Tenderly, you make love to me so tenderly. Somehow you got a monopoly on the soul of me. I once had a wife, the love of my life. She used to smile just like you do. The angels took her away, and since that day I was so lonely. Till I saw you, let our hearts beat in time. Let's leave our past behind, and together we'll face the world. So don't be afraid, I don't care what people say. I'll be your only man, and you'll be my girl. No more Lady of the
martini, Beck.
Honey, they're on.
Doesn't matter. I want to pour it on the charcoal. I can't get this stuff to burn.
Oh, a martini isn't dry enough. I'll get you some of you started.
For drinking purposes.
You're looking ship-shaped.
way that body in my closet was formed. Miles, where do they come from?
I don't know. If they are seeds or seed pods, they must grow someplace on a plant, probably. And somebody or something wants this duplication to take place.
When they're finished, what happens to our bodies?
I don't know. When the process is completed, probably the original is destroyed or disintegrates.
No, wait! Right, but I take a dim view of watching my own destruction take place.
There isn't any danger until they're completely formed. We learned that last night at your house. Your blank didn't change right away.
Not until you fell asleep. Miles, when the change does take place, do you suppose there's any difference?
There must be. Wilma noticed it. So did little Jimmy.
So did I. My father.
That must be what he was doing in the cellar last night, placing one of these. I'm sorry.
I felt something was wrong, but I thought it was me because I've been away for so long. They have to be destroyed. All of them.
They will be. Every one of them. We're going to have to search every building, every house in town. Men, women, and children are going to have to be examined. We've got some phoning to do.
Well, I'm going to stay right here where I can watch them.
I'm going to stay with
and you. And don't call the police! Nick Rivet didn't find any body on a burning haystack.
Why don't you call Danny? Maybe he can help.
Danny? No. I'm afraid it's too late to call Danny, too.
Well, what are you going to do?
Get help. I hope whatever's taking place is confined to Santa Mira. Listen.
Operator.
Hello, this is Dr. Bunnell. This is an emergency. I want to talk to the Federal Bureau of Investigation in Los Angeles.
Can you make them believe you?
I've got it.
Where did they come from?
So much has been discovered in these past few years that anything is possible. Maybe the result of atomic radiation on plant life or animal life. Some weird alien organism. A mutation of some kind.
So why should they take the form of people, of us?
I don't know. Whatever it is, whatever intelligence or instinct it is that can govern the forming of human flesh and blood out of thin air is, well, it's fantastically powerful, beyond any comprehension, malignant. All that body in your cellar needed was a mind, and it was...
It was taking mine while I was asleep. I can take that pitchfork myself.
On your call to Los Angeles, Doctor, they don't answer.
Well, try again. That office is open day and night. Maybe they've taken over the telephone office for dead.
Is that me?
Sacramento. Give me the state capital. I want to talk to the governor.
The Sacramento circuits are busy, Doctor. I'll call you back.
All right. All right, I'll wait for your call. I'll take the phone outside.
You and the girls get in your car and make a run for it. First time you get to, yell for help.
What's you?
The wireless phone is going to ring. If there's nobody here to answer it, they'll know we've gone and blocked the roads out of town. I'll stall them until you're out of reach.
Well, then what are you going to do?
Try and find out what's in back of this.
I'm staying.
No.
Miles, don't ask me to leave you.
Jack, get going.
Miles, I can't
leave you. Somebody's got to go or we don't get any help.
Please, let's get out of here.
Well, watch out for yourselves.
It's over by the phone. Stay there. It rings, call me.
Hello?
Is Dr. Bunnell there?
Yes, I'll get it.
Never mind. Just tell him the Sacramento circuits are still busy and ask him if he wants me to keep trying.
All right, hold on. Miles, the circuits are still busy.
Well, tell her to keep trying. Also try San Francisco and Washington.
Here
right now. Well, where are we going? Sally. We're still unable to get through to Los Angeles. You keep trying. Dr. Bunnell. I needed someone I could trust, and I figured Sally, my nurse, was my best friend.
In this place, filled with empty space. Your love holds the key, baby, sympathize with me. I need you before I lost your touch of life and grace. I knew that your sweet face could always comfort me.
Democratic Senator Kamala Harris is starting her 2020 bid, trying to act like she is a champion of progressive values and progressive policy. But there have been some old videos surfacing that don't make her look very good. Now, this one I'm sharing here is Kamala Harris giving a speech at the Commonwealth Club in 2010, and she's talking about her policy idea to jail the parents of truant children.
I would not be standing here were it not for the education I received. And I know many of us will say this. And I believe a child going without an education is tantamount to a crime. So I decided I was going to start prosecuting parents for truancy. Well, this was a little controversial in San Francisco. And frankly, my staff went bananas. They were very concerned because we didn't know at the time whether I was going to have an opponent in my reelection race. But I said, look, I'm done. This is a serious issue, and I've got a little political capital, and I'm going to spend some of it. And this is what we did. We recognized that in that initiative, as a prosecutor and law enforcement, I have a huge stick. The school district has got to share it. Let's work in tandem around our collective objective and goal, which is to get those kids in school. So, to that end, on my letterhead, now let me tell you something about my letterhead. When you're the DA of a major city in this country, usually the job comes with a badge. And there is often an artistic rendering of said badge on your stationery. So I sent a letter out on my letterhead to every parent in the school district, outlining the connection that was statistically proven between elementary school truancy, high school dropout, who will become a victim of crime, and who will become a perpetrator. We sent it out to everyone. A friend of mine actually called me and he said, Kamala, my wife got the letter. She freaked out. She brought all the kids into the living room, held up the letter, said, if you don't go to school, Kamala's going to put you and me in jail. Yes, we achieved the intended effect.
All right. This, I mean, there's no other way to say it. This makes Kamala Harris look disgusting. She is giddy about the idea of prosecuting parents of truant children. Now, look, the connection, I'm sure, is true. That, yeah, if you don't go to school, you are likely to get into trouble later on in life. But you have to understand, a lot of kids that are truant, it's because they come from damaged homes. Whether their parents are, you know, working three jobs or the kids themselves have gotten into trouble and it's not necessarily on the parents. The parents aren't even aware, aren't able to be home to take care of the kids, to understand what's happening. This directly impacts low-income people, especially people that are struggling. Now, Kamala Harris, because she is a prosecutor, she looks at everything through a prosecutor's lens. So she sees kids not going to school, and her idea, because her world is prosecuting. Her idea is, oh, okay, well, let's put the fear into the eyes of these parents, into the hearts and souls of these parents, to make sure their kids go to school. But it's, even if something works, like, even if this policy works, and there is some data to show that it did work, that more kids were going to school, the unintended consequences, or you could even say the intended consequences, are incredibly detrimental. Just because something works doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. So let me read the actual, some of the effects of this policy. So this is from Jezebel. In 2009, her office stated it had brought charges against 20 parents on truancy-related cases. In 2012, as a result of the statewide law that passed with Harris's backing, one woman, Lorraine Cuevas, was sentenced to 180 days in jail after her two young children missed more than 100 days of school. The local DA's office, like Harris and many others, tied it to keeping kids off the street. Quote, if they are in school, they are less likely to be involved in gangs or drugs, James John of the County District Attorney Office said at the time. The local superintendent, Tim Bowers, described Cuevas' jailing as unfortunate but an appropriate response to a serious situation. But one parent at the elementary school where Cuevas' children were enrolled was more skeptical, asking what would seem to many to be a more pressing question. Who's going to watch your kids? I think 180 days is extreme. Yeah, this is completely insane. To prosecute 20 parents over this and one parent going to jail for 180 days? So, again, this kind of policy mostly impacts people of low incomes. So we're talking, when you prosecute someone like this, you prosecute a parent in this situation, they have to deal with the legal costs. They have to deal with the fact they have time away from work, time away from the kids. And if they go to jail, like this woman did in this case, where are their kids going to go? Who's taking care of their kids? Yet, somehow, this is supposed to encourage kids to go to school by taking their parents away? This is the kind of shit that exposes these frauds. So, to have this in Kamala Harris's past, while she is trying to communicate herself as this progressive champion, I don't buy it. Nobody should buy it. If you see her past, see what she's done, this is absolutely disgusting. Now, to be fair, let's go to how she defended it. So this is from her book. In her memoir, Harris addressed critics on her truancy program head-on. Even today, others don't appreciate the intention behind my approach. They assume that my motivation was to lock up parents, when of course that was never the goal. Our effort was designed to connect parents to resources that could help them get their kids back into school where they belonged. We were trying to support parents, not punish them, and in the vast majority of cases, we succeeded. Despite the apparent intent of the laws being an agreeable one, kids should attend school, these laws don't necessarily do that. As Dana Goldstein wrote at the New Republic in 2015, quote, such interventions have not been proven to increase school attendance or decrease long-term criminal behavior. In fact, the criminalization of truancy often pushes students further away from school and their families deeper into poverty. So, this should be obvious. Now, I said earlier that there is some data to support Kamala Harris's claim that it kept kids in school, but that data is mixed because kids were also attending school at higher rates before she even got there or before she even had this law instituted. So kids were already going to school at higher rates before she put this law into place. And then once she put it into place and kids were still going to school at higher rates, she made it seem like that was the reason they were going to school, when there isn't a direct correlation to that happening. So, but again, like, even if it did work, it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do because of how it affects people that are on the margins. There are other ways, much better ways, to be able to deal with that issue. Kamala Harris, as a prosecutor, shouldn't be going after this issue. That's not her job. If you want to keep kids in school, then you should do it through public policy that encourages parents and kids, for parents to keep their kids in school. There are other ways to do that, either through funding, through services, through child care, health care. There are better ways to address this problem than going after the parents. Now, Naomi Klein put this out on Twitter, and I think it sums it up well. Imagine being proud of spreading terror through families. There are so many reasons why kids miss school, and it is de facto counted towards truancy. Chronic illness, lack of adequate accommodations for special needs, economic crisis out of parents' control, eviction. Wow. Yeah. This, I mean, I had more hope for Kamala Harris. I did know some of her past positions on these issues, but to see her on video being giddy and laughing about this idea, it shows a severe lack of empathy. It shows a lack of, not just a lack of empathy, but a lack of understanding on why truancy becomes a problem to begin with. How it's not because these parents aren't fearful enough, but it's because these parents lack resources. And when you lack resources, because of the capitalist system that we all live under, there are going to be some losers and some winners. And people that are at the bottom of that are going to be impacted to a degree where it may get to a case where they aren't able to watch their kids and ensure that they actually attend school. So, again, this is the kind of policy that falls directly on low-income families. And for Kamala Harris to not understand that and to even be giddy about the idea of scaring parents into sending their kids to school is just completely disgusting.
I worry about you, I dream about you, I'm growing older, I'm still a very young man. If only you come to me in a dream and give me a plan,
let the man know your scheme,
pull up a chair and bring it by my bed,
look me dead in my knees.
And baby, 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 take away this emptiness. Talk to me sometime.
You know.
pay you. $2 million, man. In cash. Right now.
This is not about money. This is about power. New king in the streets. This message is for your people. You are history. Fucking history.
What the fuck are you doing now, man? You're crazy!
He really says, not only do I have to kill you, but I have to take your sword. Fucking voodoo magic, man. But you know what? I tell you what I believe. Shit happens.
Like a fool, Miles, and accept us.
No. Never.
He's in here! He's in here! Get him! Get him!
I've been afraid a lot of times in my life, but I didn't know the real meaning of fear until I had kissed Becky. A moment's sleep, and the girl I loved was an inhuman enemy bent on my destruction. That moment's sleep was death to Becky's soul, just as it had been for Jack and Teddy and Dan Kaufman and all the rest. Their bodies were now hosts, harboring an alien form of life, a cosmic form, which to survive must take over every human man. So I ran as little Jimmy Grimaldi had run the other day. My only hope was to get away from Santa Mira, to get to the highway, to warn the others of what was happening.
From L.A., the city of fear.
The psycho vigilante killer continues his daily diet for murder. Bodies strung out, bodies with the skins ripped off, the hearts torn from the cadavers. And just recently, King Willie, the drug lord, the vicious drug lord, found in an alley just around the corner with his head cut off and his spinal column torn from the body, a fitting demise to the Prince of Powder.
You're next.
I hope you ain't next, but
I know next will be another mix. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome. As we continue our mad scientist mixes here at Sultry Radio and Raw, celebrating October and our favorite holiday, Halloween. Sultry Radio proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. I mean all the good shit. You, who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, blah, blah. And www.BASNNewsroom, all in phrase.com. With me working in his lab is DJ Gray. What's up, G?
Good evening. Good evening.
You know, I know you're a little older than I am, but the last clip, well, actually the penultimate clip, was from Invasion of the Body Snatchers, which was done in 1956.
Oh, yes.
And, of course,
That movie scared me to death, man.
Yeah. That and The Day the Earth Stood Still, which was done in 1951.
Yes.
Two very good movies, but the older we got, although we probably weren't thinking about it back then, how much of a control mechanism movies were, because they were both anti-communist movies. You know, the aliens were the commies, you know, the Russians. And, of course, the Invasion of the Body Snatchers, well, you know, you got no soul and shit, so you must be communist.
Right. Well, I remember the first real sci-fi movie was the Japanese anime with Godzilla and
yeah,
that's what I
thought about. The Japanese movies. Yep.
Yeah.
Godzilla, Rodan.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. And it's a shame they had to ruin the illusion by doing Godzilla in color.
They ruined it.
Yeah.
Black and white was so cool. Black and white.
Black and white scared the shit out of me. I'm like, what the fuck?
It was so cool.
I'm thinking like a kid. You know, they put him in color, and I'm like, who's this motherfucker in a rubber suit?
They ruined it.
Yeah, you scare me. You know. But the one in black and white was like roasting police cars and shit and stomping on Japan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
And Godzilla opening my plane, come fly out. Okay.
Well, okay, so now we got Halloween movies. We got trick-or-treating. We got parties. What else have we missed in terms of the overall Halloween thing?
Well, number one, the weather changed drastically from being warm to being really chilly. I'll never forget it. That day, it was like 80 degrees at daytime. And when I came, it dropped down to 40 and everybody was freezing that night, go out trick-or-treating. And they froze to death that night.
Well, you know, you're right about that, though. I mean, because, you know, everybody had little plastic costumes and shit and stuff like that, and then you had to make costumes.
Oh,
yeah, but we always forgot about the weather. You know, we weren't thinking about that because we were too busy collecting candy and shit, but, yeah, it was cold like a motherfucker some of those years.
Yeah, my mama, said, Gary, we were going to go all over Burlington. We walk all the way across the railroad tracks to get candy across the railroad tracks and come back home and be frozen stiff.
What was your favorite costume?
Well, mine was Spock. My last 2 years, I trick-or-treated
favorite one, I was working in a hospital, and I had a pair of leather overalls. That's a separate story in itself, but I had a pair of leather overalls, and I bought one of those tails, like a rat tail at Party City or someplace like that, some Halloween joint. And I got a pair of mouse ears. Got some mouse ears and a pint of MD-2020. And
uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly. A handkerchief. And my job was customer service, so I put all my shit on in the bathroom, came out. Everybody started cracking up. I went to my desk. So they said, what was I dressed at as? And I said, hood rat. I did win third prize, a $25 gift certificate. See, yeah, that's right. I'm gonna be a hood rat for I'll be a hood rat for Halloween.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Well, since Halloween is coming, when you get everything online, I think we're going to have to deal with the funk. Mm-hmm. There will be funk wars.
I got to reboot my my musical.
Yes.
And don't worry, we'll get it together before the end of the month.
Yes, sir. So the funk wars shall commence during Halloween and thereafter for a bit, for just a little taste. And then we'll get on to our holiday project, which will be a secret, a surprise. So y'all will just have to sit back and wait. But I'm glad the computer's getting taken care of. Do you have any last words for our crowd before I carry on?
No, Michael, you know what I'm getting ready to say. Number one, wash your hands. Number two, wear a mask.
Yes.
And you can do the rest.
And as the count would say, wash your ass. Yes. I want you putting bars of soap on the mask. One, two, three, bars of soap, washing your ass. Yes. Don't want you smelling like wild onions, ass gravy, and toe jam. No.
Wear a mask.
And definitely wear a mask where applicable.
No. And all you cowboy fans, you got lucky today. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. Well, this will be 6 weeks in, and we will do some extensive field general intel for you for our Wednesday show. We will provide that info to you, 9 p.m. Hump Day Special. Tuesday, the Blueberry Tea Set will return. Groove will get a little jazzier. And now that it's getting cold, you got to put something warm in your belly. So Tuesday, the Blueberry Tea Set returns. For everybody else, if you're traveling or working or what have you, I want you to get from A to B and back to A-OK. Go safe, stay safe, be safe. And we will see you Tuesday. I want to make sure you get the right one keyed up here. Kick back and relax.
so plain. So long I waited for this moment of bliss. When I can see your eyes and feel your tender kiss, it's such a thrill, babe, having you next to me. And it feels my world to see your precious company. So tonight has finally come around for me. When I can hold you in my arms, I know you.
I realized that the boy had gone crazy. And I had upset him a little bit more than I thought I had. Because evidently he had forgotten it's my house. So being the kind, generous person that I am, I did give him one more chance. But to keep him on the right track, I told him, if you find it, learn your lesson. No deposit, no return. You can't treat me like a possession. Without the fuel, if I won't burn. Without the fuel, if I won't burn. Said you gotta discussing these home fires here, let us clarify a few things and speak of these fires in depth, because evidently you are not receiving the true message I am sending out here. Now, we do have two kind of fires going on. I have a fire and you had a fire, because you see, your fire has just about burned out. It could be that you've been flicking your big so much elsewhere until you done run out of fuel. I don't know this. All I know is this house is cold. There haven't even been any ashes in this fireplace recently. And I am about to add a third fire. An outside fire. Now this fire has not yet started, because I thought you should know the consequences of getting a fire started on the outside. Now, I am not talking about dropping a little lit match somewhere on a wet day. I am talking about burning down a whole damn county. Smokey the Bear would hate me after this. Now, only you can prevent this forest fire. You can start by getting the fire started right here. I don't mean just one of them little smoke signals going up, because your name ain't Geronimo. Now, either you do this, or there's going to be enough sparks flying around here till the whole neighborhood go think it's the 4th of July. Because I'm declaring my independence. My right for a man to offer me a Tipperillo. Oh, yes, I'm going to be smoking. Now, I know you don't want this to happen, because once you get an outside fire started, you can't control it. Every time you think you done about smothered it, a good gust of wind come through and set that Mickey Ficky on fire again. And you could end up with a wildfire. And wildfires do have a tendency to spread. Oh, no. Don't think you can start a fire across town and it's gonna stay over there. If you mess around and get burnt, it's gonna beat you home. And ain't no need to tell your old lady nothing about, I can't do nothing this week, baby. I was lifting something down too heavy at the job and I got a strain. Nobody. The strain gonna be on your ass. Cause you done messed around and let these outside fires beat your house. And when an outside fire spread all the way to your house, woo, you wake up one morning and your house is on fire. Building collapsing down around your ass. And you in trouble. I ain't bullshit. You in trouble, boy. I'm talking about the heat is on.
The heat is on.
Oh, yeah.
All the heat is on.
And when that much
much heat get in your house? Niagara Falls couldn't put that naked figure out. And strange things start happening around the house. And then you come home one day, lo and behold, there's a different kind of log in the fireplace. A log bigger than yours. A longer log than yours. And it just burns for hours. Even after the log burned down, the coals stay hot. Then you know your ass in trouble. It's time for you to gather your twigs and split. Now, I want to tell you something here. This is what is about to happen in our situation. I've been checking out the logs in the neighborhood. Nice logs. In fact, there's a whole goddamn forest out there. And I am ready with my axe to chop down the first tree I see, baby. I want you to know this. So what I suggest you do here, if you want to keep these home fires burning, is do like they do when they go downtown shopping. If you see something you want, and you don't have the money, or it might be a little too expensive, or whatever the case is right now, now ain't the time for you to get it. If you really want it, you ought to put it in the layaway. You ought to put something down on it. That's the way it is with this fire here. If you want this fire to stay burning, you better lay a nice log on it. If you want my love, put some down on it, spend a little time on it, oh babe. Gotta be in your heart, not just in your mind. Come down on it. Hey, baby. Oh, oh. I believe if you speak, you will find. All I'm asking you to do is give me just a little more time. If you're gonna be mine and you wanna be mine. Down. Cause tomorrow the whole damn thing could soon turn around. Put some man on it, spend a little time on it. Ooh, baby, I wanna know you were with me, baby, when the chips were down. And I know you can make it all turn around for me, daddy. Tell them about it, girl.
I wonder if you're in love. That's someone I I'm froze, low, you got that right. Groove, whistle, and I'm still spinning. plus one ten and indicate I'm something there. Back in space, deep at sea. My shit on natural high. The man can't put no thing on me. So hit me with my mind stretched out. It's astro black. Time reaching into end, not the astro blue. In fighting out the corners with my acting like Chewy with a nigga.
Well, I mixed with flip-flop, and so I left like not fantasy. Never stop. J'ai froid dans ma chambre, ça ressemble à décembre. Doano me parle d'amour tendre. Une idylle scolaire, c'est des yeux qui brillent. Je brille et deviens Claude, la simple brindille. Vêtements démodés, tendresse et innocence. Sur les photos de mon flirt d'enfance. L'amour est aveugle quand les yeux pétillent. J'ai les pupilles qui grillent, on est à l'école, je sais que je suis pas beau. Claudio, quasi quasimodo, si elle aime les filles, j'atteindrai le bonheur. Petit Candy, je serai grand chester.
Sister, je ne suis plus un sniper. T'as le viseur, la balle est dans ton cœur. Sister, je ne suis plus un sniper.
Une carte parmi d'autres, perdue dans le jeu, anonyme apôtre. Avec du sel et de l'eau, je lui offrais la mer en alchimiste. Pour une croisière, quitter les buildings, direction la paille. Simuler la pampa, élever du bétail. DHLM, alu, LM, dans la jungle urbaine, je draine le nouvel Eden. Mais le rêve s'arrête là, quand Miss Kiss inquiète de la terminale 3. Je repense à l'école, les jours de canicule, moins 13, dans ma chambre, mental et le calcul.
Je ne suis plus un sniper. T'as le viseur, la balle est dans ton cœur. Sister, je ne suis plus un sniper. Sister, je ne suis plus un sniper. La balle est dans ton cœur. Sister, je ne suis plus un sniper.
Aujourd'hui, c'est la cinquième saison. Voilà pourquoi je fais du son, une fleur et je pleure sous la pluie à Cherbourg comme immolé. Par les feux de l'amour, j'étais jeune, elle plutôt vanille. Notre amour scolaire plus clean qu'à manie. Et même si dans mon art j'ai la ceinture noire, j'ai en moi plus de Claude que de Solar.
C'est ça, je ne suis plus un sniper.
T'as le viseur, la balle est dans ton cœur. Je t'offre l'extase et la solution. La palme du crâne pour la cinquième saison. À décembre, Doano me parle d'amour tendre. Une idylle scolaire, c'est des yeux qui brillent. Je brille et deviens Claude, la simple brindille. Vêtements démodés, tendresse et innocence. Sur les photos de mon flirt d'enfance. L'amour est aveugle quand les yeux pétillent. J'ai les pupilles qui grillent. On est à l'école, je sais que je suis pas beau. Claudio, quasi quasimodo. Si elle aime les filles, j'atteindrai le bonheur. Petit Candy, je serai grand chester.
Je ne suis plus un sniper. T'as le viseur, la balle est dans ton cœur. Sister, je ne suis plus un sniper.
Une carte parmi d'autres, perdue dans le jeu, anonyme apôtre. Avec du sel et de l'eau, je lui offrais la mer en alchimiste. Pour une croisière, quitter les buildings, direction la paille. Simuler la pampa, élever du bétail. DHLM, alu, LM, dans la jungle urbaine, je draine le nouvel Eden. Mais le rêve s'arrête là, quand Miss Kiss inquiète de la terminale 3. Je repense à l'école, les jours de canicule, moins 13, dans ma chambre, mental et le calcul.
Je ne suis plus un sniper. T'as le viseur, la balle est dans ton cœur. Sister, je ne suis plus un sniper.
suis plus un sniper. Aujourd'hui, c'est la cinquième saison. Voilà pourquoi je fais du son, une fleur et je pleure sous la pluie à Cherbourg comme immolé. Par les feux de l'amour, j'étais jeune, elle plutôt vanille. Notre amour scolaire plus clean qu'à Manille. Et même si dans mon art j'ai la ceinture noire, j'ai en moi plus de Claude que de Solar. C'est ça, je ne suis plus un sniper. T'as le viseur, la balle est dans ton cœur. Je t'offre l'extase et la solution, la palme du calme pour la cinquième saison.
And a hip-hop to all, and to all, good night. See you Tuesday.